Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And I'll tell you what, if you're in the, I guess we could say the northern half of the eastern side of the United States, I know what your weather is tonight. Snow, except for a few spots. Right up along the shores of Lake Erie, it's clear. And we had a fun drive driving up from our house coming up here to the radio station tonight, and snow-covered roads until we got up here near the station, up here closer to Lake Erie. But further south in Ohio and out in West Virginia and Pennsylvania and over into Virginia and Washington, D.C., Delaware, Maryland, New York, New England states, they are getting socked. They're getting hammered with snow tonight. So certainly pray for people you know out in that area that they'll stay safe in the snow. Yeah, I knew they were getting a big snow out that way when they said they were measuring it in feet rather than just inches. And so our 2 or 3 inches that we got today didn't seem like much compared to 2 or 3 feet they're expecting, I guess, out in the East Coast. And of course, if you're further south, getting down below that area, there's some rain coming through in spots. And then, of course, as you get down into the southern part of the states, down into the Gulf Coast and Florida and down in that area, well, you're probably enjoying nice warm weather down there, looking at the news saying, boy, glad I don't live up north about now. But this is one of those things that can't complain too much here in Ohio, but if you're out in the east, it's a lot of snow. But it's wintertime. It's wintertime, and we'll get through this, and I'm sure things are going to be warming up. I firmly believe that global warming is going to kick in probably by another 2 or 3 months, and you'll see it warming up considerably. All right, well, we're going to get into our program here tonight. Welcome to the program, and if you want to follow more about us, you can always go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I also link on there I post on there, MP3 files of previous programs. And if you're not somewhere where you hear our Friday afternoon program, we're on here locally in the Northeast Ohio area, Cleveland, on AM 1220, The Word. We're on from 1:30 until 2 o'clock on Friday afternoons. Those programs are posted there as well at livewithpastoral.com, as well as our Sunday night hour-long programs here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And so I encourage you to go there. Also has links to our Facebook page. We're on Facebook. You can follow that as well. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our program here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, want to thank you so much for watching over us, and thank you for a good day today. We just pray that you be with those that are in the brunt of the storm here this evening and tonight. Watch over them, and then we just pray that you keep people that have to be out on the road safe, and pray for those that got to go out on the roads Monday morning, ready for work and things. Keep them safe on the roadways, and Lord, in the meanwhile, we just pray that you bless the program tonight. We just ask that you would use us for your glory, help us to be a blessing and an encouragement to somebody tonight, and maybe something that we say would be used of the Holy Spirit to point people to Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you want to get on the program with us this evening, you can give us a call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, and number of things we can talk about here. And we've got a caller coming in already, and I'll get to that in just a moment. And I just want to encourage you, and perhaps during the course of the program we'll talk about this in a little more detail. Keep your eye on what's going on over in the Middle East. There's been some tremendous events happening over there, not the least of which is the overthrow of the Yemenese government and the ouster of the president of Yemen and the, I believe it's the Houthis, a Shiite group, that a tribe that's backed by by Iran. Of course, there are Shiite Muslims in Iran that basically has seized power in Yemen. And if you look on a map where Yemen is, you can see that if Iran should get a foothold there, that would allow Iran not only to have a potential of choking off traffic in the Persian Gulf, where a lot of oil transits, but also choking off traffic leading up into the Red Sea to the Suez Canal, where also a lot of merchandise and oil travels. So be paying attention to that. And then, of course, the king of Saudi Arabia died this past week, and they're in the midst of a succession there and the uncertainty that has. And you can see where the Iranians are capitalizing on that. And Iran also unveiled this past week, or at least it was unveiled with some pictures that have been posted on the internet of launch facilities for a missile that the Iranians have the Israelis and several other intelligence groups have said has the potential of reaching beyond Europe. The known missile capabilities of Iran was certainly all of Israel and Europe. And this one here, they say, can reach beyond Europe, meaning it can reach North America. And I would maintain, especially since the Iranians had previously put a satellite into orbit briefly, if you can put something in orbit, you can put a warhead over top of the United States of America from Iran. And all of these things are taking place, numbers of people being killed this past week in Egypt, and also Boko Haram in Nigeria slaughtered a number of people, kidnapped a number of people, sold them on the slave markets there in the Muslim world. And all these things taking place. And the biggest story here this past week in the United States was, were some footballs underinflated? I guess you just have to have your priorities, what you think is important. I choose to think that things happening in the Middle East are a little bit more important than some footballs being underinflated. Well, you might not think or agree with that, but if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and the reason I mention the things that are happening there in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, I believe it is, Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, he's talking about nations rising against nations, wars and rumors of wars and commotions and all these things taking place, he said, look up. He said, lift up your eyes, look up, lift up your heads, and because your redemption draweth nigh. And so we shouldn't be anxious, overly anxious or worried. We know that God has a plan, and this shows us that we're in those latter days. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673, and get on the air with your questions about the Bible or current events. We have John waiting patiently for us on the line. And John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Okay. I get a feeling that Al Gore is in the South tonight.
He's where?
He's in the South tonight.
Oh, well, you know, this is kind of humorous. I'm glad you brought that up. Every time Al Gore goes to a big global warming conference, we get blizzards. You ever notice that?
Right.
And they're all gathered over in Davos for this great big global warming conference, and I was amused by the story where the guy, this one billionaire, went over with his wife and two nannies, not just one, but two, in their private jet, and was saying that the hoi polloi, the peasantry of the world, are going to have to learn to do without.
Right.
They've got our best interests at stake,
right,
don't they? but at any rate, welcome
to
the program.
My question was, is on a previous program, you had been saying that you believed that the Jews would build a third temple.
Yes, sir.
And based on 2 Thessalonians, you felt that the Antichrist would enter into that temple and be worshipped as God.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, do you feel that that temple will survive the tribulation and be in existence during the thousand-year reign?
I believe that temple will survive the tribulation. I believe it will suffer some damages. I believe that Jesus Christ at the conclusion of the tribulation will enter into that temple, but I believe it will be renovated. And whether or not God decides to remove it and place another one in its place or not, I think it would probably be a reasonable assumption that it'll survive the tribulation and be renovated, expanded, and purified and rededicated, because of course my understanding from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is that the Antichrist, as he's called in that passage, the son of perdition, is going to enter in. It says in verse 4 that he is going to sit in the temple. He's going to, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God, which would imply that he's going to enter into the Holy of Holies as if he was God and deserved to be there, and he's going to sit there in the Holy of Holies, and he's going to show himself as God. He's going to present himself as God, and I think that will also correspond to what the Bible says in Revelation, where it talks about the institution of the, you know, what we call the mark of the beast, the infamous 666 number. Revelation chapter 13, and I believe that's the point where people are going to be forced to acknowledge that they believe that the Antichrist is God in the flesh, and then receive this mark. People aren't going to have the mark snuck on them. They're not going to wake up one morning and say, "Wow, my social security number has become the mark of the beast overnight," or something. They're going to have to worship him as God, I believe, and there's some indication from that, because those that worship the Antichrist as God, the Bible says in Revelation 14, are cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. So,
well, I guess I'm wondering if people mm-hmm. are worshiping him as God in that temple, how could it be repurified?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's the same temple that goes into the millennium, if it's not completely destroyed and God has another one built in its place, that temple is going to have to be purified. It's going to have to be renovated and reconsecrated.
How could that be accomplished?
Well, you know, one could ask this question. Let me just rephrase it just a little bit. How could the heart of a sinful man be, you know, renovated and changed. God can do it. He provided by means of his the death on the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on the cross a means of taking the sinful heart of man and changing it giving us salvation, providing for the forgiveness of our sins. So if he could renovate sinful man's heart, I'm not going to put it past God to be able to renovate a temple made of you know, wood and gold and masonry and things of that nature.
I'm wondering, do you believe that animal sacrifices will be offered up to Christ in that temple?
I believe that animal sacrifices will be offered during the temple during that time, and that they will
during the thousand years.
Yeah, as a picture of the sacrifice of Christ. Now, in the temple previously, they were offered in anticipation of the sacrifice of Christ. And now today, as believers in the age of grace, we don't need that animal sacrifice. We're not a part of Israel. We're not the replacement of Israel. God has plans for them in the future, and certainly during the tribulation as well as the millennial kingdom. But we observe the Lord's Supper today as a sacrifice of Christ, as a picture, I should say, of the sacrifice of Christ, because the unleavened bread pictures the pure flesh of Christ that was untainted with sin, because leavening was a type of sin, a picture of sin, because it's a process of decay, and then of course the unfermented fruit of the vine, the grape juice, is a picture of the uncorrupted blood of Christ, and that would be the wine that Jesus drank in the Lord's Supper. And And, of course, wine referred to alcoholic and non-alcoholic in the Bible.
Is it your belief that during the millennium, then Christ will accept those animal sacrifices that's presented in that temple?
I think that they will be, like I said, yeah, he will accept them because I think that it will be offered up. Let me back up a little bit. During the tribulation, there will be animal sacrifices being offered up in the tribulation because when the Antichrist goes into the temple to declare himself to be God, he commands a sacrifice and the oblations to cease. And so that would account for during the tribulation those sacrifices taking place. But like I said, during the millennial period, these sacrifices will not be done in order to receive forgiveness of sin. They will be done, I believe, much in the same way that we observe the Lord's Supper today. People who observe the Lord's Supper correctly, according to the Bible, do it, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, that Jesus, when he offered the bread and offered the cup, said, "This do in remembrance of me." We do it as a symbol of our belief in the sacrificial death of Christ and the shedding of his blood on the cross. We don't do it in order to gain forgiveness. Nowhere in the Bible is that ever taught. We don't do it to keep ourselves saved. Nowhere in the Bible is that taught. We do it as a memorial of what Christ did. When we do it, we remind ourselves of the sacrifice that Christ made. And the Jewish people during the tribulation, or I'm sorry, during the millennial kingdom, they will be doing it as a memorial, like we do the Lord's Supper today. They will be doing it as a memorial, saying we believe that what Jesus did, his sacrifice, was sufficient to pay for our sins. They're going to do it as a memorial, not to get forgiveness of sins, but because they want to commemorate what Christ did, and it'll be pictured, I believe, by those sacrifices.
Well, is it your belief that when the millennium is over, will that third temple continue to exist?
That I'm going to say possibly not, because the earth is renovated by fire, and Peter says that the elements melt with a fervent heat, so that suggests that all man-made objects and things on the earth are probably destroyed at that point. I believe that the Lord is going to restore the heavens and the earth to the state like they were in the original creation, untainted with sin. One major difference, of course, is that the lake of fire, the Bible says in Revelation 14, will always be there where the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and that'll always stand throughout all eternity for those of us in that eternal state that are with the Lord. We'll be able to know that the lake of fire is there with the smoke ascending up forever and ever, always as a constant reminder of what sin cost and why sin had to be dealt with the way that God did it. I was just going to say, as you read the last three chapters of Revelation, you can see a description of the new Jerusalem, which is where the saved of this current time frame, this current period of time, go to, and there's no temple in that city, because God is there with them. But on the earth, there very well may be a rebuilt temple in the area where the saved, the righteous Jews from the Old Testament period, the millennial period, and the tribulation period are living and serving God in a area there. Probably there'll be a new temple there on the earth, but not in the New Jerusalem, which is the city that's being prepared right now by Jesus.
Can a person that survives the millennium, can they still be cast into the lake of fire?
I'd say no, because the people who survive the millennium are all going to be believers. Or I'm sorry, did you say millennium or the tribulation?
Millennium.
Okay. Let me backtrack on that. I was thinking tribulation. I heard you wrong. Because the people who survive the tribulation, they will all be believers that go into the millennium, and they, of course, will live through the entire millennial kingdom. But the Bible tells us that during the millennium, the devil will be bound for 1,000 years and he will not be able to get into mischief because he'll be bound. But at the end of the millennium, it says that the devil will be released for a season. Doesn't tell us how long the season is, whether it's, you know, 5 days, 10 days, 100 days, 10 years, whatever it is. The Bible says that in Revelation 20, verse 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as of the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. These are going to be people who were born during the millennium. These are not people who survived the tribulation. They're going to be the descendants of people who survived the tribulation. The people who survived the tribulation are going to enter into the millennium, much as we are now as believers, saved, redeemed, but still having a body with a sin nature. Their children are going to have to make a decision to follow Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and worship Him as God. And some of them won't. Apparently, by the end of the millennium, when the devil gets out, there's going to be quite a few of them who have chafed under the rule of Christ. And you think, how could they do that? Well, they did it when Jesus was here before. The people who knew the scriptures and knew that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies, they nevertheless didn't like him. They didn't like what he was doing, and they were threatened by him, and so they chose to reject him. So there's going to be a large number of people by the end of the 1,000 years that are anxious to get out from underneath the rule of Christ, and when the devil comes out, he's going to sell them a lie, and they're going to believe him, and they're going to try and attack God himself, and the believers are going to gather together, and it is God makes short work of it, because it ends in verse 9, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's it, boom. And then from there, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So yeah, there are people who will be alive during the millennium, born during the millennium, who at this point, they will go into the lake of fire as well.
But once everybody is in the lake of fire, once the people go into the New Jerusalem, then there isn't any chance for them to go into the lake of fire then, right?
No, because everybody that goes into the New Jerusalem, and at that point, the only people outside the lake of fire will be people who have been redeemed, and we will all have a new body without that sin nature. We will no longer have the sin nature, and it's hard for us to imagine that right now, because right now, I mean, we're used to this body that Paul called a body of death. You know, that I didn't want to get up this morning to go to church, and I'm the pastor. You know, I wanted to stay in bed and sleep. I'm not a morning person. Somebody, a friend of mine comes to church. He said one time, I think it was last week, he said, I'm amazed how well you sound late at night on Sunday night. I don't think I sound this good Sunday morning at church. So, if I sound bad on Sunday nights, imagine what I sound like on Sunday morning.
My other question is the people that are raptured, are they eligible to, do they have a possibility of going into the lake of fire, the people that are raptured?
No, we've already dealt with them, not directly, but they're the ones who have been redeemed. When the rapture takes place, Paul says
So none of them will be deceived by Satan at the end of the 1,000 years?
No, because we will no longer have a sin nature, for one thing. The only ones deceived will be people born during the millennial kingdom that are rejecting Christ, and they still have their sin nature, to deal with.
So once a person is raptured, then they're free and clear then, right?
Well, you're not going to be raptured if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior.
But if you've trusted
Christ as your Savior, when you're raptured, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says we'll be changed. This corruptible put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality, and we will no longer have a sin nature. Our sin's already dealt with. God will have us with him in heaven during that time of the tribulation. And then, of course, when we come back, the Bible says we'll rule and reign with him during the millennial kingdom. We'll be like the angels that remain loyal to God. No sin nature. We won't have the inclination to sin. And also, our understanding will be far greater than it is now. Right now, I don't think that we as human beings fully understand what sin is. I don't think we get it. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be appalled that we treated sin so lightly, so cavalierly. Because right now, we just do not understand it fully. We look through a glass darkly, the Bible says. It's like looking through a dirty window pane, trying to figure out what's inside on the other side of that window. And when we get there, we're going to be astounded. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the things so that God's prepared for us.
So the end of the millennium is not a time of testing for the rapture then?
Oh, no, not at all. Our time of testing is right now.
Okay.
Right now. And we're coming up on the break there. So
okay, well, it's good
got
talking
less than
to
a minute.
You.
But you had some good questions there, and I appreciate that. And I thank you for your call. And if you're on the line, we've got somebody on the line. If you'll hang with us, we've got a break coming up. And if you've got a question for us tonight, you want to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to have another half hour of programming left. We go till about midnight tonight. And again, if you're out there on the highways in some of the areas where the snowstorms are going through, just keep safe. If you don't have to be out, stay indoors and stay warm. And listen to the program and give us a call. And we're going to take a break here and join us in the second half of our program. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-4444. 6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight and hope you'll be able to join us in conversation this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you're on the line, we got a couple callers. Just hang on. We'll get to you in just a few minutes here. And just wanted to mention that not only are we brought to you by our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, if you're in the Akron, Cleveland, Ohio area sometime, we sure encourage you to visit. You can find out more about us. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, we're also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, the home of the homemade pizza. You can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you call East Coast Pizza, you can get pizza pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al. You can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you're interested in opening your own pizza shop, maybe you want to get into that and you've been scared off by the high franchise fees, if you're in Ohio, if you're in Florida or somewhere in between and you're interested in getting into the pizza business or adding pizza maybe to an existing restaurant of some sort, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus and how he can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. And he's got great pizza. I have to give a hello to Al in Brooklyn here tonight. Him and his wife went in and had some of Gus's pizza there at East Coast Pizza. And partial. We got a listener named Al. I have to be partial to that name. I'm somewhat attached to that myself. But thanks for stopping by there and enjoying some of East Coast Pizza there. Well, any rate, we're going to get back to our program. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we've got a couple callers waiting patiently for us. We've got Jeremiah calling in first. And Jeremiah, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Pastor Al. You got an awesome program.
Hi, good evening. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I have the Good Trustworthy Bible, King James Version Bible.
Yes, sir.
To a book of 1 Timothy chapter 2.
All right. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let me get turned over there.
I have a couple questions about three verses.
All right. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. There's chapter 3. There's chapter 2. And where are we at?
Verse number 5.
Okay. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And let me read the next verse to complete the sentence, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time.
Now, I take it the mediator, between God and one mediator, was God.
Well, yeah, he became his own mediator in the person of Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, where is it? Verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So Jesus Christ actually took on the form of a man because the preceding verses, and actually I was turning to another passage, I happen to see this and it fit in here, he took on the form of a man. It says that man was created a little lower than the angels, and then it says here in Hebrews 2:9 that Jesus himself was made a little lower than angels when he took on the form of a man. The Bible says the mystery of godliness is that God was manifest in the flesh. And so Jesus became a man, and that was God in the flesh. And he did that because, see, God in his glory could never have gone to the cross and died for our sins. But God in the person of Jesus Christ became a man, and he was able that way to go to the cross for the suffering of death so that he could taste death for every man. That was so he could die for our sins. And so in that way, God himself not only is the mediator, but he's also the ransom, you know, that solves the price of sin.
Now God is Jesus' Father, of course.
Well, we have God, of course, and as we understand it, we use the term Father and Son, but it's not in the same sense that a human being, a man, would be a father, and then he would have a child who would be his son. It's not in that same sense, because it's God. It's not, you know, a lot of people try to say, oh, you believe in more than one God, and that's not the case at all. God exists as one God, but he's manifest in three ways. He's manifest as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. And the key to that is in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where in Genesis chapter 1, God says that he's going to make man in his own image. And then in Genesis chapter 2, he makes Adam by first taking the dust of the earth and gathering the dirt together and forming Adam's body, and that would correspond as a picture of God to the physical manifestation of God, God the Son. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That would correspond, of course, to the breath of God, or the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit. And then Adam became, the Bible says, a living soul, and that soul would be the personality, the intellect, the emotion, the will of a man, and that would correspond, of course, to God the Father. And so you yourself, as Jeremiah, you're not three separate Jeremiahs. You're one Jeremiah, body, soul, and spirit. You have a body, and that's Jeremiah. You have that's the physical presence of Jeremiah. You have a spirit, that's Jeremiah, and that's the spiritual presence of Jeremiah. And then, of course, you have a soul, and that's the soul of Jeremiah. So you're all three Jeremiah, but the beautiful picture that you have there is that the body, just as Jesus said that he did that which the Father told him to do and said that which the Father told him to say, that shows that the body should be in subjection. I was joking with our previous caller that I'm not a morning person. This morning, my body did not want to get out of bed, but I had to force my body to be in subjection to my mind, to my soul, that made the decision. The body is not going to call the shots here. The body is going to be in subjection and do what I tell it to do. So that was me doing these things. That's my body, my soul, and my spirit. And
second question is out of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16.
All right. 2 Timothy, you said?
1 Timothy. I'm sorry.
1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 here. Yes, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And that, you know, the mystery of godliness right there, that God himself, as we read in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then a little further down in the chapter, it said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. See, that's the incarnation that we talk about, when God was manifest in the flesh, when God himself took on the form of a man so that he could die for us.
And he's crucified.
Right, because he had to take on limitations in order to die for us. Let me give you an example of how God took on limitations. When I was in high school, at Revere High School many years ago, back in the 1970s. You know, I go, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. That's my name, Pastor Al Davis. But Al is short for Alfred. Now, Alfred is not as common as Albert or Alan or something like that. But I had a teacher when I was in high school, and his name was Alfred. So, you know, there was only three Alfreds in Revere when I was going through: myself, another student, and this one teacher. He was a science teacher. He was a nice guy. Had a good sense of humor. He was a guy that, let's just say, he was not to be confused with a weightlifter, okay? But he was a nice guy. Well, we had a guy in our class, and he was a weightlifter. He had arms, you know, that were probably bigger around than this teacher's thighs. You know, his arms were bigger around this guy's legs. And they had this thing that they would do, and it was hilarious to watch it. The teacher, Mr. Morse, that was his last name. I always knew him as Mr. Morse, Alfred Morse. And he would go in on study hall or lunchroom monitor duty, and he would see this other student who was a weightlifter and had these giant arms, and he would go up to him and say, "Let's arm wrestle." Now, when you looked at the two, you would think the student would just break off his arm and beat him over the head with it. And they would sit down there, and Mr. Morse would grab a hold of the student's arm, and the student would get hold of his arm. And people who hadn't seen this before, you know, like some of the freshmen and things like that, classes below us that hadn't seen it before, they would watch, and they'd be incredulous because Mr. Morse would sit there like he was hardly expending any effort whatsoever, and the student would be straining, his face would be turning red, the veins would be bulging on his face, and the muscles would be just standing out, and the sinews in his neck would be standing out. He looked like he was straining for all his worth, and Mr. Morse would sit there and a few times kind of go ho-hum and yawn a little bit. And then after a few minutes of straining and going a little back and forth, all of a sudden Mr. Morse would just put him down, boom, thumping on the table real loud. And kids that hadn't seen that before would be incredulous that this teacher with these skinny little arms would beat this guy who was a weightlifter. Now, the truth of the matter is the student that was the weightlifter could have beat him with his little finger anytime he wanted to. But when he did this arm wrestling match, he limited himself. He voluntarily limited his power, his strength, so that Mr. Morse could beat him. That's the only way that Mr. Morse was able to beat him. And it's the same thing with God. The only way that Jesus Christ could be nailed to the cross as God manifest in the flesh is if God limited his power. And that's what he did. That's why he took on the form of a man, so that he could exist in a form that could live amongst sinful men and then willingly go to the cross and allow himself to be crucified.
Amen.
It could not have happened if God had not limited himself. And so God limited his power by being born as a man and taking on human flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove came upon him when John the Baptist baptized him. And he was able to do this. He did this, and now, of course, he's seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. He's believed on in the world, and, of course, he was received up into glory. And he ascended up into heaven, and one day he's coming back for us. And so that's exciting when we think about that.
That is definitely true. He's going to come back.
Yeah. Hey, Jeremiah, I appreciate the call tonight.
Third question.
Yeah.
It's out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13.
Oh, okay, that's right. You had another one. We'll have to make it quick because I got another caller coming in. Chapter 2, verse 13?
14.
Or 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly.
1 Timothy chapter 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. I looked in chapter 3. Here, let me back up. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That simply refers back to Genesis chapter 3. The devil deceived Eve. Adam did not get deceived into eating the forbidden fruit. He did it willingly. He knew what he was doing, and he willingly chose to do it. That's why by one man, the Bible says, referring to Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so Jesus Christ becomes the second Adam that was obedient to God's commands and brought life into the world. Hey, I appreciate those questions, Jeremiah. God bless. Thanks. Stay warm. And I appreciate that. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is the number. And we have Jim calling in tonight. Jim, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you tonight?
I'm a first-time caller, and
hey, great! If I had a bell, I'd ring it. So,
all right, great. I'm calling, getting gas, but I was actually going to call. My first question was answered with your first caller about the Third Temple, and it was a pretty good answer, so I'm happy. And so I had another one.
Okay.
About the two witnesses.
Right.
In the end times.
In Revelation, we have two witnesses, and let me turn over there to find them. Yes. But go ahead while I'm turning here.
And I've studied a little bit, and my question actually was for you personally. Do you think the two witnesses are going to be Enoch and Elijah? And a lot of people I've heard preaching before say they think it's going to be Elijah and Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And now my personal through study is I think it's going to be Enoch and Elijah.
I lean to that as a possibility myself, but go ahead.
And the reason for that is because we're all born sinful, and including Enoch and Elijah, and they were raptured pretty much.
Right.
And so in my thoughts is they have to come back to die because the wages of sin are death.
Well, and also the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and they are the only two in the Bible that I can think of that never died. And for our listeners, Enoch in the Old Testament, prior to the flood, before Noah and the flood, Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God, and it basically says that God took him. And so apparently he was caught up into heaven, caught up by the Lord. And let me come back to that in just a moment. And then we had Elijah, who was caught up in a fiery chariot with the horses, and it caught him up. And Elisha watched it happen. Remember, he dropped his mantle, his garment, and Elisha picked it up. And he had prayed that a double portion of the spirit that was on Enoch, on Elijah, would rest upon himself. And then he went on as a prophet of God after Elijah. And Elijah was caught up and not seen again. Now, when you look at these two men, Enoch and Elijah, it would appear, I think, we could make a good case that they were transported through time to the time of the tribulation period. And in Revelation chapter 11, we see the two witnesses standing in Jerusalem, and they have the power to work miracles. They're preaching, and they're preaching a very strong Old Testament-like message. And we also know from the little book of Jude that Enoch, and let's see if I can find that here, in the little book of Jude, there's only one chapter, and verse 14, it says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." And so Enoch was a strong preacher. We don't have much recorded of his messages, don't have as much as we do of Elijah, but they make a good candidate, and then they work a series of miracles and all, and then at the midpoint of the tribulation, they're killed by the Antichrist. They lay dead for 3 days in Jerusalem, and the whole world sees them and celebrates that they've been killed. And then they're restored to life, and they're caught up in heaven, into heaven. Now, some people say, well, it's Moses and Elijah that'll be there. Usually Elijah is put forward for whichever, two people make, because the Bible talks about Elijah coming before the great and terrible day of the Lord. But they usually put Moses there mostly because of some of the miracles, such as the waters turning to blood. But those things don't have to be restricted to just one prophet. Another option, too, is that they may just be two men that God raises up at that time. Because remember, Jesus said that John, had the people been willing to receive Christ, would have been as if Elijah had come.
Right.
In the spirit of Elijah. But personally, if I had to come down one way or the other on this, I favor Enoch and Elijah. Part of that is because it represents, remember, we're dealing in an Old Testament situation in the book of Tribulation, and it deals with the Old Testament prior to the flood and after the flood. And like I said, these are the two people in the Bible that never died. They were bodily received by God, and I believe they weren't so much taken to heaven to sit in heaven all this time. Heaven sits outside of time. I think God simply picked them up, gave them some instruction, and transported them through time. If you could talk to them during the tribulation, is from their perspective, I think both Enoch and Elijah would say, well, just the other day I was here walking the earth, and God took me and brought me here.
I understand.
Yeah. So
that's pretty deep.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to find out one day, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
And I'm excited to see these things, you know, when they start to play out.
I am too. I am too.
So
well,
it is.
It's funny because the first question was answered already pretty well. About the third temple, it really puzzled me because Christ paid the price and anyway, my question was answered, and I appreciate your thoughts there.
Well, I appreciate that, and I want to thank you for your call tonight. Hope you'll call back again sometime.
I will.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thanks.
And, of course, you can give us a call. We've got a few minutes left, about 3 minutes left in the program. If you call real quick, you could probably get you on here with a short question. The number's 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. But in the meanwhile, just wanted to mention a couple of things here. We've talked about this before in Luke chapter 21. I was preaching on this at our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, this morning in Luke chapter 21, about the signs the disciples had asked Christ. Luke 21, verse 7, they said, "Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things come to pass?" And the first thing that Jesus said there in verse 8, he said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived." And we need to weigh everything that we see with the Word of God. We hear a lot of things. People speculate about the blood moon tetrad. We've got the next two lunar eclipses coming up again this year. We had two last year coinciding with the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, and then this year we have them happening again on the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, and the suggestion has been made that every time that we've had this series of four of these total lunar eclipses occur on successive Jewish holidays, same two in two successive years, that some important events have occurred related to the Jewish people. And if you go to our website, Live with Pastor Al, there is an audio file on there that you can listen to where we've discussed that in a bit more detail. You can find that there. I think it's called The Four Blood Moons. But we have that going on, and people use that to try and say, "Oh, the rapture is going to take place this year or next year," or various things like that. And then, of course, there's the other thing I think that's out there. What is it? The Shemitah, I think it is, or something. I probably got the name wrong there, but the seventh year thing that took place in 2001, 2008. And then, of course, is coming up the next 7 year is this year, I think about September or so of 2015. And they suggest that momentous things are going to take place there. And all these things are going on, but it's enough that we can see that things are happening. And Jesus in Luke 21, verse 28 said, "When these things begin to come to pass," he doesn't want us to be deceived. He said, "Look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Time to trust Christ as your Savior. We're out of time with the program. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.